we're going to start from Kuf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. It's the 33rd line. It's the second wide line by the two dots. Okay, so we're still in the middle of darshaning all of these psukim from Koheles. We started doing that a little bit yesterday. So the Gemara continues, and again, it's going to still relate to the topic of old age, as we were talking about yesterday as well. So the pasuk says in Koheles, "V'sugeru de lasayim bashuk," which means that the doors of the marketplace will be closed. What does that refer to? "Elu nekavav shel adam." It's a reference that when a person gets older, some of their orifices, some of their body parts don't function properly. They start to get closed off. Then the pasuk continues, "B'shval kol hatachana," from the low sound of the grinder. So what does that mean? The Gemara says, "Bishul kurkivan she'eno tochin." That's an allusion to the fact that the older one gets, so the harder it becomes for food to digest. That, again, another consequence of old age. Then the pasuk continues, "V'yakom l'kol hatzipor." He will wake up at the sound of the bird. So the Gemara says, that means, "Sha'afilu tzipor mena'arto mishenaso." That meaning that once a person gets older, they'll be startled out of their sleep, even from something as small as a bird chirping. So again, the idea being that the older you get, so the harder it is to sleep comfortably. And then finally, the pasuk says, "Vishachu kol benos hashir," that all the daughters who are singing, their voices are going to be low; they're not going to be heard. So the Gemara says that the girsa here should be shafilu kol sharim b'sharos domos alav kis. Domos love kisocha, which means that basically when a person gets older, they're not going to find any joy or take any pleasure in listening to music. They're just going to think that it's just people talking, people conversing, and they're going to kind of miss out the main point of the song. The Gemara points out, "Va'av barzilai ha'giladi amar leDavid ben shmonim shana anochi ayom ha'ida bin tov lera mikan shede osan shel zekena mishtanu." So Barzilai ha'giladi, who based on the simple pshat of the psukim in Sefer Shmuel, was a good friend to David HaMelech. In fact, he actually apparently saved David HaMelech's life. So the pasuk says that he described himself at the age of 80. He says, "I'm 80 years old today. Do I know the difference between good and bad?" So the Gemara says, you see from this pasuk about Barzilai HaGiladi that the older a person gets, so they're not necessarily always all there. They start to lose it a little bit. And then Barzilai HaGiladi continues, "Im yit'amav dechas asher ochel ve'es asher ashteh mikansha sifso sehenshel zekena misra." And then when the pasuk describes Barzilai HaGiladi as someone who's not able to eat and drink, so you see that at that point his lips started to crack and started to wither, and again he lost his ability to enjoy and derive any pleasure from the food that he was eating. And then he says, "Im eshma od bekol sharim b'sharos mikan sha'aznam shel zekena miskabdos." And again, Barzilai HaGiladi was not able to derive any pleasure from hearing music, as we saw in the previous Gemara. So again, the idea here, basically the Gemara is kind of essentially just reframing what we already said, that when a person gets older, so they lose the ability to revel and to take pleasure in many of these, many of the things that people typically do in life. The Gemara now continues on. Marav Barzilai HaGiladi Shakra Hava. So comes Rav and says that Barzilai HaGiladi was a liar, meaning he's saying that at the age of 80, people don't all of a sudden lose all of their faculties, their mental faculties, their physical faculties. He says it doesn't happen that way. How do we know that? Dahi Amsa Dahavya Be Rebbe Bas Tishin Vistartin Shnin Vahavas Taima Kidra. There was a maidservant in the house of Rebbe who at the age of 92 was still tasting the food. She was still preparing the food. So how could Barzilai HaGiladi claim that at the mere age of 80, he already lost his appetite, he lost his desire for eating and drinking? You see that there was a maidservant in Rebbe's house who was cooking food and tasting food all the way until the age of 92. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe Barzilai wasn't lying. Maybe there was another reason why he lost that sense earlier. The Gemara says, "Rava Amar Barzilai HaGiladi shut of Bezimahava." V'chol hashat of bezima zikna kofetz es alav. Comes Rava and says that Barzilai HaGiladi lost his ability, lost his desire for eating and drinking and things like that, because he was a person who was shut of bezima, which means that he was steeped in, he was steeped in immoral activities. He was involved in a lot of different sexual escapades throughout the majority of his life. And as a result of that, because he was engaged in these types of activities for most of his life, so the Gemara says about him that zikna kofetz es alav, that old age overtook him. In other words, logically, a person who's 80 80 years old should still have the majority of their mental and physical faculties working properly, but because he acted in this way, he kind of jumped the gun and, you know, and was considered to be older than he actually was in terms of the usage of his various, you know, mental and physical faculties. Okay. The Gemara now says, Tanya Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi Omer, Talmidei Chachamim kol zman shemazkinen chachma nitosefes bahem, she'ne'emar b'shishim chachma v'orech yamim tvuna, v'amei ha'aretz kol zman shemazkinen tipshus nitosefes bahem, she'ne'emar meisir safa lane'emanim v'tam zkenim yikach. The Gemara draws a contrast between how Talmidei Chachamim get old versus amei ha'aretz, versus those who are ignorant get old. So the Gemara says that as a Talmud Chacham gets older, he becomes even more intelligent, he becomes even wiser. The Gemara cites a pasuk from Eov to that effect that says that the older one gets and the longer one lives, so the more chachma they develop. Whereas an Am Haaretz, a person who we typically call, you know, ignorant, or a person who is not careful to follow halacha, the Gemara says the exact opposite, that the older they get, the more foolish they become. Okay, so now Gemara circles back to the psukim from the end of Koheles that we've been citing, yesterday and today. The pasuk continues again, discussing the challenges of old age. The pasuk says, "Gami gavoa yiru." The pasuk says that from on high we know the person fears. So what does that mean? Shafilu gavshushis kitana dome alav kahare harim. That even a small clump of dirt, a small mound of dirt, appears like a gigantic mountain to a person once they get older, and it's considered to be challenging and too difficult to traverse that even that small mound. Then the pasuk says, that there are things on the road that cause you terror, that cause you to fear for your life. The Gemara says, "B'sha shemahalich baderech nasu lo tivahim." That when an older person is walking on the road, he's scared of that. You know, he's scared of falling, he's scared of tripping, he's scared of a lot of different things that were not on his radar screen beforehand. Then the pasuk says, "V'yanetz hashaked," which means that the almond tree blossoms. So the Gemara says, "Zo kliboses." That's an allusion to the hip bone of an older person that protrudes and that could eventually, you know, could be torn or could be in or cause him some serious injury. Then the pasuk says, "V'yistabel hechagav elu agavos." The pasuk describes the grasshopper dragging itself. So the Gemara, based on a certain play on words, says that that's an allusion to a person's buttocks. That the older a person gets, it becomes heavier. And then v'safer ha'aviona zochemda. That's an allusion. That last part of the pasuk is an allusion to, again, the point that we mentioned before, that the older a person gets, the more their sexual desire wanes with old age. Okay, the Gemara now says, Rav Kahana have a pasuk sidra kameh derav. Rav Kahana used to read some psukim, used to cite psukim in front of Rav. So the Gemara says, kimata lahaikra nagir v'isnach. So when Rav Kahana got to this pasuk in Koheles that we just cited a second ago, Rav gave a big sigh, he gave a big groan. So the Gemara says, Amar, so Rav Kahana said, shma mina bata lechem de derav. The fact that Rav was groaning and sighing when he heard this pasuk, that's an indication that Rav's sexual desires and physical desires have waned and they've basically gone away. So Amar Rav Kahana, May dichsiv kihu amar vayehi zo isha hu tziva vayamod elu banim. So Rav Kahana expounded the pasuk that we say this pasuk in davening every morning. Kihu amar vayehi hu tziva vayamod. The pasuk from Tehillim. So kihu amar vayehi, that you know that Hashem said and the world was created. That's an allusion to one's wife. In other words, that was the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically proclaimed that Chava would be created from Adam, and then hu tziva vayamod, right? Hu tziva vayamod Yamud is a reference to our children. So what's the connection exactly? The Gemara explains, Tana, Isha chemes malitsoa, ufia malidam, v'hakol rotzin achareha. The Gemara describes women as being a flask full of feces, and her mouth is full of blood, and yet men still run after her. So the way that Rashi explains this connection, he says that this was part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzeira. He says that logically, no one should ever run after a woman because it's disgusting. She menstruates, she bleeds, whatever. But he says the fact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the world up that men have a desire for women. And says that's what happens. So he says that's what the pasuk means. Ki hu amar vayehi, that Hashem decreed that this should be so, even though logically it doesn't necessarily make any sense. Okay, then the Gemara goes back to the psukim from Koheles. The pasuk says, "Ki holecha adam el beis olamo," which means that eventually man is going to die. Eventually, he's going to go to his eternal resting place. Amar Rav Yitzchak, malamed shekol tzadik v'tzadik nosnim lo mador lefi kvodo. You see from here that every tzadik will be given a place in Olam Haba that is befitting of his own stature. What does that mean? The Gemara says, "Mashal lemelech shenichnas huva avadav le'ir." It's comparable to a king and his servants who enter the city. Kishehin nichnasin kulan b'sharecha nichnasin. When they enter, everyone, both the king and his servants, enter through the same gate of the city. However, kishehin lanin kol echad v'echad nos nelo mador lefikvodo. When they go to their separate ways to go sleep somewhere, they're each given a room that's befitting their stature. Meaning to say that every Jew will enter Olam Haba, but not every Jew will be allowed to be in the same place, the same location. That will vary depending on how many mitzvot you racked up and how much Torah you learned in Olam Hazeh. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, May dechsev ki hayaldus v'hashacharos havel. It's another pasuk from the end of Koheles, where the pasuk says that youth is considered to be vain. It's considered to be vanity. So what does that mean? Gemara says dvarim she'adam oseh b'yalduso mashchirim panav liyezik naso. The Gemara says that those activities that we do in our youth that cause us shame or cause us embarrassment will continue to shame and embarrass us even as we get older. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kasher rima lemeis kemachad b'vsar hachai, shene'emar ach b'soro alav yich'av. Comes Rabbi Yitzchak and says that maggots and worms that eat away at a dead body are just as bad or just as painful as a needle is when it pricks your skin, when it pricks a live person. Because basically, in other words, the maggots that eat away at a dead body are like spiritual needles, essentially. It's like eating away at the soul of the person who just died. Amar Rav Chisda, Nafsho shel adam misabeles alav kol shiva, shene'emar v'nafsho alav te'eval, uchsiv v'ya'as li'aviv evel shiv'as yamim. Rav Chisda says that after a person dies, his own soul mourns for him for the week of Shiva, for those 7 days. How do we know that? Because again, that pasuk that the Gemara, the end of the pasuk the Gemara cited before from Eov, it says, ach b'saro alav yich'av, that your flesh is going to be pained, and then it says, v'nafsho alav te'eval, it says that your soul is going to mourn for you. So your neshama is going to mourn the loss of the guf. And then the pasuk also says in Parshas Vayechi that after Yaakov Avinu dies, Vayas li aviv evel shivas yamim. It says that they made, in other words, that Yosef and the brothers sat shiva basically for Yaakov. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Meis she'en lo menachamin, holchin asara b'nei adam, v'yoshvin b'mekomo. So the Gemara says, let's say a person died, and he doesn't have any relatives to mourn for him. Either they don't live anywhere near here, or maybe he's the last one in his family, whatever it is. So if there's no one around to sit shiva for him, so the Gemara says, you're supposed to gather 10 people together, and sit in the place where he lived, or the place where he's buried, whatever it is, and you're supposed to basically sit shiva on his behalf. So the Gemara has a story now. Hahuda shachiv b'shiva vusei de Rav Yehuda. There was a guy who passed away who lived in the community of Rav Yehuda. Lo hayu lo menachem. And this person didn't have anyone to mourn for him. So the Gemara says, kol yoma have a davar Rav Yehuda be'asara v'yastei b'duchte. So for the week of Shiva, after this person died, Rav Yehuda would gather a minion of people every day, and they would sit in the place, and they would mourn on behalf of this person. So the Gemara says, liachar shiva yomim ischazei le'bechilmei de Rav Yehuda. V'yamar le, tanuach deitcha shehinachta. And after the week of Shiva was over, this person who died appeared to Rav Yehuda in a dream, and he said to him, he said, you can settle your mind now because you've appeased me. In other words, he's saying, your conscience should now be able to rest easy because you took care of me. You gathered people every day to mourn on my behalf, even though I had no one to mourn for me. So because you did that, Rav Yehuda, now your mind should be appeased as well. Okay, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avahu, kol she'omrim bifnei hames yodea, ad she'isasim hagolel. The Gemara says that anything that a person says in front of a dead body, the person who died will know about it until what's called yisasim hagolel, until the time that you push the rock on top of the grave. In other words, like today, until you throw the last shovel full of dirt into the grave, basically. That's the point where, in other words, anything you say before that, the mace will know about. And the Gemara says, "Pligi bar Rabbi Chia v'Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi." This was actually a machlokas. Chad amarachi yisasim hagolel, v'chad amarachi yisakel habaser. So there was a machlokas. Until what stage does a mace know when you're talking about them? So one opinion is because as we just said, until you basically cover up the grave, the other opinion says no, that until the body decomposes up until that point, then the mace will know that you're talking about them. So the Gemara explains, Manda Amar ad sheyisakel habasar dichsev ach bisaro alav yichav v'nafsho alav te'eval. If you think like the second opinion, namely that the mace knows what you're talking about until their body decomposes, that's based on the pasuk in Iyov that we cited on the previous Amud that says that your flesh is in pain and your soul is mourning the loss of your guf. So that's an indication. That's an indication that until your flesh actually decomposes, then you know you're aware of what's happening. On the other hand, man de amarachi yisasim hagolel dichsiv v'yashov ha'afar al ha'aretz kishehaya. Whereas the opinion that says that the mace is only cognizant of what people say about him until the grave is covered over, that's the pasuk at the end of Koheles that says that the earth is going to return to the land the way that it once was. Again, implying that you know, in other words, once the dirt is covering over the mace, at that point, he will no longer be aware of what's going on in the world around him. Okay. The Gemara now says, Tanu Rabbanan, V'haruach tashuv el ha'elokim asher nesana. This is the end of the pasuk that we just, that the Gemara in the previous line quoted, also from Koheles. The pasuk says that the spirit, that a person's neshama, will return to Hashem the way in which Hashem gave it to him. What does that mean? The Gemara says, Tinolo kemoshe nasna lecha betahara, afata betahara. The Gemara says that just as Hashem gave you your neshama in a state of purity, you must return it to him that way as well. Mashal lemelech basar v'dam, shechilek bigde malchutz la'avadav. It's comparable to a king who distributed, you know, very nice articles of clothing to his servants. So pikchen So the intelligent ones, they took the clothes and they put them away in a drawer and they kept them there for safekeeping. Whereas tipshim shebahen, the foolish ones, holchu v'asu bahen malacha, they put on the clothes right away and they started to do work while wearing the king's clothes. So the Gemara says liyamim bikesh hamelach es kela. So after a while, the king requested his clothes back. So pikchen shebahen hechazirum lo kishehin meguhatzin. So the intelligent ones returned the clothes. They were iron. They were pressed. They were fresh because they were never worn before. They were just holding on to them. Whereas tipshin shebahen hechazirim lo kishehin meluchlachin. Whereas the fools returned the clothes when they were already dirty. So the Gemara says, Samach hamelech likras pikchin v'chas likras tipshin. So the king was very happy to see the intelligent ones return the clothes that were clean, and he was upset at the fools who gave him back clothes that were dirty. So the Gemara says, Al pikchin amar yinasnu kli la'otzer v'him yelchu levateim l'shalom. Regarding the intelligent ones, the Gemara says that they returned their clothing back to the king's warehouse and they were sent back home in peace. Whereas Yaltipshin Amar, Klei Yinasnu Lekoves Vehin Yischabshu Bevesa Asurim, they had to bring their clothes to the launderer and they were locked away in prison because they basically, you know, they basically misused the king's clothes. So the Gemara says, Afa Kodesh Baruch Hu Al Gufan Shal Tzadikim Omer Yavo Shalom Yanuchu Al Mishkevo Sam. Regarding Tzadikim, the pasuk says that they should come in peace and that they're going to rest in peace after they die. V'al nishmason hu omer v'hayisa nefesh adoni tzura b'tzor hachayim. And regarding the neshama of the tzaddikim, the pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel that their soul will be bound up together with the soul of Hashem. The Gemara says that's referring to the tzaddikim. Whereas al gufan shal rishayim hu omer, when it comes to the guf of the rishayim, the pasuk says in Tehillim, ein shalom amar Hashem la rishayim, there is no peace for the wicked. V'al nishmason hu omer v'yas nefesh o yevecha yekal le'ena b'so. The pasuk says regarding the souls of the Rishayim, the souls of the wicked, the pasuk says in Sefer Yeshayahu, I'm going to sling their souls using a sling. I'm going to shoot their souls around. In other words, they're not going to have any peace of mind or any tranquility. And the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nishmasan shel tzadikim genuzos tachas kisei hakavod sheneemar v'hayasa nefesh adonit tzura b'tzor hachayim. So again, the souls of the tzadikim are hidden and stored away underneath the kisei hakavod. Whereas v'shal rishayim zomimos v'holchos umalach echad omid b'sofa olam umalach echad b'sofa olam umekalin nishmas and zelazeh shenemar v'yas nefesh o yevecha yekalenu b'sof kafakala. So again, the Gemara says, whereas the souls of the wicked, so they're tied up, and the rishayim are constantly slinging them back and forth, as we saw before from this pasuk in Yeshayahu, that the malachim are standing on opposite ends of the world, and they're slinging the souls of the rishayim back and forth. The point basically here is that the Rishayim will have no peace in Olam Haba, whereas the Tzaddikim will live in tranquility underneath the Kisei HaKavod. So now the Gemara wants to know, Amar Le Rabba Le Rav Nachman Shel Bein and Imai. What about the average person? What about a guy who's not a Tzaddik or a Rashi, somewhere in the middle? So Amar Le, so Rav Nachman says, Ika Shachivna Lo Amri Lechu Hai Milsa. He says, even if I were dead, I wouldn't be able to tell you that. In other words, what happens to the average person? And he says, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Elu Va'elu Leduma Nimsarin, Halalu Yesh Lahen Manoach, Halalu Ein Lahen Manoach. Both the souls of the average people and the wicked are given over to Duma. Duma is an angel who is appointed over the spirits of those who have died. So the Gemara says that if you're an average person, you're somewhere in the middle of a tzaddik and a rasha, so even though you're handed over to Duma, your soul, your neshama, will still have peace, will still have tranquility. Whereas if you're a rasha, then your soul will not have any peace. So the fine. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Mari, Asidim Tzadikim Dehavu Afra, Dechsev Yashov Ha'afar Al Ha'aretz Kishehaya, the Tzadikim in the future are going to turn into dust. They're going to become like dirt. Again, that same pasuk in Kohelet that we keep on quoting that says that the dirt is going to eventually go back to the way it was. The Gemara says, Hanu Kfulai Dehavu Kafle Ba'ara De Rav Nachman. There were some grave diggers who were digging around the plot of land that belonged to Rav Nachman. And the Gemara says, Nachar Behu Rav Achi Bar Yoshia. So Rav Achi Bar Yoshia, who had died before, he started to rebuke them. He started to speak out, even though he was actually dead. So the Gemara says, Asu V'Amr Lele Rav Nachman. So the gravediggers went and told Rav Nachman, Nachar Ben Gavra. They said, there's some guy who was buried who started rebuking us. So Asa V'Amr Lele Mani Humar. So Rav Nachman goes over to this grave, you know to this gravesite where Rav Achi Bar Yoshia is buried, and he says, you know, who are you? Amar Lei says, Ana Achi Bar Yoshia. I'm Achi Bar Yoshia. Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman says to him, V'lav Amar Rav Mari, Aside Tzadike Dehavu Afra. Didn't Rav Mari say that the tzaddikim in the future are going to turn into dirt, are going to turn into dust? So in other words, basically his question was, how are you still alive? In other words, he was basically asking him, I thought you died many years ago, like how, in other words, how are you still here? So Amar Lei, so he said, Umani Mari Deloya Donnelly. He says, who is this Mari that you speak of? Because again, remember, he was quoting Rav Mari. So he said, maybe I don't subscribe to Rav Mari's position. Maybe I think that said that people can come back even after they've died. So Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman says, okay, but isn't there a pasuk in Koheles? That same pasuk that we keep on quoting from Koheles. The pasuk says that the dirt is going to go back to the way it was. So meaning after a person dies, they turn into dirt. They, you know, after their body decomposes, they become dirt. So how, so he basically, Rav Nachman is again asking him, how are you still alive? How are you still here? So Amar Lei, so Rav Achi says to Rav Nachman, the Akriach Koheles lo Akriach Mishle. Clearly, even though you've read Koheles, but you haven't read Mishle. Dechsev v'rekev atzmos kina. Kol mi sheyesh lo kina belibo atzmos av markivim. Kol she'en lo kina belibo in matzmos av markivim. The Gemara learns from a pasuk in Mishle that only a person who has jealousy, their bones are going to rot. But if you were not jealous, if you didn't display the trait of jealousy in your lifetime, then your bones and your body will in fact last even after death. So the Gemara says, Gashashay, so Rav Nachman touched the body of Rav Achi Bar Yoshia, Chazi de Isbe Mashasha. He saw that the body had substance to it, that he was actually kind of still around, even though he was technically dead. So Amar Lei, he said, Leiko Marla Gavi de Besa. So he says, why don't you come to my house? You know, let's have a conversation now that you're kind of back from the dead. So Amar Lei, he says, oh, Goles Adaitach da Filu Nevi Elokaris, Dechsiv Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem Befischias Kivroseichem. So Rav Achi Bar Yoshia turns to Rav Nachman and says, it's clear to me that you haven't read Navi either, because there's a pasuk in Sefer Malachi that says that you're only allowed to leave the grave when Hashem tells you that it's time to leave. Meaning, once the time for Tchias HaMeisim rolls around, then everyone's allowed to pick up and leave their kever. But he says, until such time, I'm not allowed to leave, so I can't come into your house and schmooze and learn or whatever. I have to stay here in the kever. Okay. So the question the Gemara asks is, the Gemara says, hang on 1 second. Forget about all these psukim from Koheles and all the psukim that we've been quoting. Isn't there a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis that describes Adam HaRishon? Right, Hashem says to Adam HaRishon, "Ki afar ata v'yal afar tashuv." You are made of dirt, and that's where you're going to return. So the question is, again, how could Rav Achi Bar Yoshia come back to life, so to speak, Doesn't the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis say that after we die, we all just become dirt? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Leah, Shachas Kodem Tchias HaMeisim. That pasuk that says that we become dirt after we die, that was referring to the moment before Tchias HaMeisim, at the time right before Tchias HaMeisim. So our bodies become dirt. So this way, we can have almost like a rebirth, and we come back to life, and we could be forgiven for all of our sins. Okay. The Gemara says, "Amar lehu tzeduki l'Rabbi Avo, amrisu nishmasan shel tzadikim genuzos tachas kisei hakavod, ovatam yahicha aski l'shmuel benegida." So, if we claim again, this was a tzeduki, right? This was a heretic asking Rabbi Avo the following. He's saying, "If it's true what you claim that the neshamos, that the souls of the tzadikim are in fact buried underneath the kisei hakavod, so the question becomes: we know that there's a famous story in Sefer Shmuel where there's a witch who brings Shmuel back to life temporarily to ask him a certain question, right? To ask him about going to war, right? In other words, because, Shaul asks this witch to bring him back to life so he can ask Shmuel some questions. The question is, if Shmuel, who's obviously a tzaddik, if his soul was stored underneath the Kisei HaKavod, how on earth could this witch bring Shmuel back to life at all? So Amar Lei, the Gemara says, no. Hasam besoch shnemasher chodesh hava tesanya kol yud beis chodesh gufo kayam v'nishmaso ola v'yoredes li'achar yud beis chodesh haguf batel v'nishmaso The Gemara says that if it's within a year, so then the neshama can still go back. After the year is up, so at that point already, the neshama is no longer coming back. And the Gemara says, there would have been no way to bring Shmuel back had it been more than a year since his death. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yehuda Berei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav, Mehaspedo Shel Adam Nikar Im Ben HaOlam HaBahu Im Lav. A person can tell, based on someone's eulogy, whether that person who is being eulogized is going to go to Olam HaBa or not. So asks the Gemara, Ini, is that really true? V'Amar Le Rav L'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Achim Behespeda Tehasam Ka'imna. So Rav tells Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, he says, I want you to give a stirring, inspirational eulogy. Give a eulogy so that people are really going to start to tear up and cry for me, because I'm going to be there. He says, even after I die, I'm gonna come back in spirit, and I'm going to be there listening to the eulogy. So the question is, in other words, if you can tell whether a person is going to Olam Haba simply based on their eulogy, why did Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas have to instruct Rav, why did Rav have to instruct Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas on how to eulogize him? Meaning, it should have been natural. If Rav really deserves Olam Haba, so then Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas would have given him the most stirring, inspirational eulogy anyway, even without Rav's instruction. And if he didn't deserve Olam Haba, then he would not have given him such a eulogy. So why does he have to give him this directive? So the Gemara says, no, lo kashya, the Gemara says that, in other words, if you give a stirring eulogy and everyone is crying and they're in tears over it, that's a sign that the person is going to Olam Haba. Whereas if you give a stirring eulogy and no one is crying, that's a pretty good sign that the person probably doesn't deserve Olam Haba. So the Gemara says that's how you can tell, that's how you know whether a person is a Ben Olam Haba. So Amar Le Abaye Le Rabba Kagon Mar Dsanule Kulu Pumpa Disai Man Achim Espeda. So Abaye turns to Rabba and says, Rabba, everyone in the city of Pumpa Disai hates you for some reason. Again, why that is, the Gemara in Maseches Chulin discusses that, as Rashi alludes to, that Rav used to give them a lot of mussar in the city of Pumbedisa because the people in Pumbedisa were not exactly so honest in business, and they didn't like hearing from Rav that they weren't doing the right thing. So everyone in Pumbedisa hated Rav because he was like the rabbi who was giving them too much mussar. So basically, so Abai asked Rav, he says, everyone in Pumbedisa hates you, so who's going to cry at your funeral? So Amar Lei said, don't worry about it. Mistia ad v'Rabba Baruch Hanan. As long as you and Rabba Baruch Hanan cry for me, that's good enough. That's enough to get me into Olam Haba. You don't need, even if all the guys in Pumbedisa hate me because I told them not to, to stop cheating in business, it's just, it's good enough, if you two are crying on my behalf. So the Gemara says, Ba'amine Rabbi Elazar Meirav, Ezehu Ben HaOlam Haba, who is a person who is going to Olam Haba? Amar Leis, the Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshayahu, V'aznecha tishmana davar me'acharecha le'mor, zeh haderech l'chubo, ki sa'aminu v'chi sa'asmi'ilu. When a person is able, based on their own lifestyle, to instruct others other people how to act, and you know what the proper path for them to take in their life is. If a person can learn that from other people, that's a pretty good sign that person is a good role model, and that they are going and that person is going to go to Olam Haba. Rabbi Chanina Amar Kol Shadas Rabbeinu Nocha Hemen. Rabbi Chanina says that anyone with whom the rabbis are happy, in other words, that the person is following what the rabbis are telling him to do, that's also a sign that he's going to Olam Haba. Okay, then the pasuk says in Koheles V'savivu Bashuk Hasofedim that the eulogizers are walking around the marketplace. So Gemara says B'nei Galila Amre Asay Devarim Lifnei Mitascha B'nei Yehuda Amre Asay Devarim Liachar Mitascha V'lo Plige Marki Asrei U'Marki Asrei. The Gemara says that there were different practices, whether you lived in the Galil or you lived in the area of Yehuda Veshomron in Israel, about where exactly the eulogizers would stand in relation to the coffin. Would they stand behind the coffin? Would they stand in front of the coffin? But either way, wherever they were standing, the point is that the person who died, the whole point of the eulogy was to emphasize that person led their life in such a way that all of us standing around here today can take a lesson from that person's life, and we can try to emulate that which they have done. Okay, the Gemara says Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Misascha. Famous Mishnah that appears in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says that a person must do tshuva the day before they die. So the Gemara asks Shalu Talmidav Es Rabbi Eliezer V'chi Adam Yodeya Eze Yom Yamos. When no one knows when they're gonna die, so Amar Lahen. So Rabbi Eliezer says to his students, you're right. V'kol Shekein Yashiv Hayom Shema Yamos Lama. So good. So do tshuva every single day, because in case you die today or tomorrow, so then it'll turn out that you're going to spend your entire life doing tshuva. Shlomo Amar Bechachmaso Bechol Es Yehuvi Godecha Levanim V'Shemen Al Rosh Shachal Yechsar. Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles says that your clothing should always be white, and you should never be lacking oil on your head. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Mashal LeMelech Shezimin Es Avadav L'Suda V'Lo Kava Lohem Zman. So kind of very similar to our previous mashal we gave on the previous daf. Let's say a king, is inviting all of his servants to a party. So pikchen shebohen kishtu es atzman v'yashu al pesach beis hamelech. So the smart ones, right, the intelligent ones, they get themselves ready for the party, and they just sit outside of the palace waiting for the king to call them in. Amru, they say, klum chasir l'veis hamelech. They say, is the king lacking anything? Meaning, the king can provide for us, even though we have to take off from work and just sit here and wait for the king to call us into his party. The king will provide for us. Whereas tipshen shebohen holchul l'malachdan, amru klum yeshu debelo torach. Whereas the fools, they say, we have to go work up until the time of the party because, we have to put food on our table right now. So they go to work. So what happens? The Gemara says, Bifiso Bikesh HaMelech HaSavad. So all of a sudden, the king demands that all of his servants come to the party. So Pikchen Shebahan Nechnesu Lefanav Kishahin Mekushatin V'HaTipshin Nechnesu Lefanav Kishahin Meluchlachin Samach HaMelech Likras Pikchen Mechas Likras Tipshin Amar Halalu Shekishtu Esatman Lesuda Yeshvu V'yochlu V'yishtu Halalu Shelo Kishtu Atman Lesuda Yamdu V'yiru. So the Gemara says that basically the king was happy at the intelligent ones who waited for his party. He was upset at the fools who went to go do work. So he said, everyone who waited for me, so you're going to come and eat at the meal. Everyone else, you're going to have to stand around and watch. However, the Gemara says, Chasano shel Rabbi Meir, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Amar, no, Afhei Nirin Kemisham Shemin. If you keep the people, the fools, if you let them just stand there and watch, it's going to look like they're just servants, that they're just serving everybody else, which is not as embarrassing to them. Ela Elu ve'elu Yoshvin, Halalu Ochlin v'halalu Re'evin, Halalu Shosin v'halalu Tzimeyim, Shene Amar, Ko Amar Hashem, Hinei Avdi Yoch So this is even more embarrassing. The Gemara says that really what happened was is that the fools who were not careful about the clothes before they entered into the palace, so they were told to sit at the table too, but they weren't allowed to eat or drink anything. They were sitting there, but they weren't allowed to partake of the meal like everyone else was. And then finally, the Gemara says, Davar Acher Becholes Yehu Vegadecha Levanim Elu Tzitzis V'Shemen Aroshchal Yechsar Elu Tfilin. The Gemara has a second interpretation of that pasuk in Koheles. When the pasuk says that your clothing must always be white, that's an allusion to the mitzvah tzitzis. And when the pasuk says that the oil should never be lacking from your head, that's an allusion to tefillin. The reason why that alludes to tefillin is because the pasuk says in Parshas Kisavo that tefillin represents, yiras Hashem, viro kol amei ares kishem Hashem nikra alecha. Everyone will see Hashem's name on you, and the oil represents having a good name, and that's why there's a connection between the two. Okay, hadron alach shoah. Okay.